Hi, I'm Jack Grimmer of Wycombe Wanderers, and you're listening to Wycombe Sound.
The Wycombe Wanderers Show.
Coming up. Welcome to this week's edition of the Wycombe Wanderers Show. Coming up this hour, lots to bring you. We'll hear from head coach Mike Dodds, looking ahead to Saturday's game at the League One leaders, Birmingham City. It's a 12:30 kickoff. It's on the telly, and it's quite exciting. I've got that on the way. We'll be following the Chair Girls as well. We'll chat to defender Milana Cador as they head to Porchester for the second time after a defeat to the South Coast side in the League Cup quarter-final on Sunday. Also, much to bring you, we'll hear from Liam from the Disabled Supporters Association. And thanks to Wycombe Wanderers Ex-Players Association, we'll catch up with a defender who spent 4 years at the club and played in defence and was fairly combative, but is a fantastic character and a big fan favourite. We'll hear from George Borg coming up very soon as well. Lots to reflect on this week too, as I'm sure you'll expect. I must say a big hello to Callum as well. Hi, Callum. Apparently Callum's a big fan of the show. I know. Who knew the show had fans? It's very exciting. Quite like that. I know fans listen, but that's not the same thing, is it? We each week chat to Phil with our match briefing, and this week, I'm pleased to say, no exception. And it's been an interesting week after what was disappointing, I guess, for many supporters with a 0-0 draw against Wigan. But that in itself has its positives with a point and remaining, of course, second in League One.
Yeah, I think that shows you how far we've come, that we, as a fan base, seem to be collectively disappointed in the aftermath of the game for a 0-0. But you've only got to look at the stats, and Wigan are a very tight team. They let in, you know, hardly any goals at all of recent times. They didn't score any either, so perhaps 0-0 wouldn't have been a surprise to them. It was interesting watching Sean Maloney, the Wigan manager, after the game as well, really revelling in how they'd sort of shut Wickham down and got the point, which it seemed to be what they came for. And where they are on the table, you can understand that as well. But yeah, an excellent defensive display by them. And look, Wickham need to get used to this. This is something we've seen a few times now that goes back into the end of last year, where teams are now sort of looking at the table, looking at Wickham's scoring record and thinking, wow, we need to really sort of dig in here. So again, testament to how far we've come this season. But, you know, these are obstacles now we need to adapt and learn to get around. And that's what Mike Dodds was speaking about after the game to Sam Avery as well. And yeah, you can see that the progress is being made under Mike. And I think, you know, between now and the end of the season, we shall see how this evolves and what happens next. Obviously, Birmingham, the next opponent, which is in first place and in really, really good form and in a good place and scoring goals. So maybe that takes the pressure off Wickham a bit, and maybe we can have a real go at them.
And what would be your assessment of the performances, especially over recent games, I guess, especially since Christmas? Because obviously, barring the FA Cup, it seems to be on a really good unbeaten run.
Look, I think, you know, defensively, Wickham are absolutely solid as, you know, they're, you know, resolute. I think we've conceded 7 goals in 12 games this calendar year, which is superb. And then, obviously, if you can then nick a goal, then you've got yourself 3 points. And I think, you know, the performances are there. I think in the final third, it's becoming more and more difficult with teams putting bodies behind the ball. And it's about finding that bit of spark and finding the goal. Look, we saw it against Bristol Rovers when Cameron Humphreys popped up and got that goal at a really vital part of the game, 5 minutes into the second half, because then it really opens things up. Wickham were then able to add a second. We're unlucky not to get one more in that day as well. And look, I think if Wickham had sort of made their superiority count in the first half and found a breakthrough, we'd have probably looked at a comfortable victory. But you have to give credit to Wigan and the opponents on the day, you know, for digging in. But, you know, in terms of the overall performance, and this will sound really glaringly obvious, all Wickham were missing was that cutting edge in the final third. And, you know, I'm sure that will be looked at this week at training and going into that massive game on Saturday, the early kickoff, first versus second. Like I said just now, I think the pressure's off Wickham on this one a bit.
And it feels like whenever we speak, we're about to start the start of a really key part of the season, but it really feels like we're about to start the start of a key part of the season.
Indeed it does. I think all games now, between now and the end of the season, just purely from where Wickham are on the table, are absolutely massive. You know, not just for us, but you know, there was some midweek fixtures that took place that we weren't taking part in, but we were very keenly keeping an eye on the results. And we're seeing sort of quite bizarre results coming, or well, not bizarre, but like, you know, results that you perhaps wouldn't expect if you looked at the table, and we're seeing teams sort of starting to turn form around, starting to string results together down the bottom. We're seeing teams who are at the top, in the top six, maybe kind of getting the pressure or feeling the pressure. But look, pressure, I think, is a privilege in sport, the pressure that Wickham have got, because we're at the top end of the table. So that is what you strive for. So Wickham have to learn to use this pressure as a positive, and I'm sure that's what they're doing this week. Look, I think Birmingham are under huge pressure, and they're delivering, albeit they've got a lot of resource and a huge club and a huge history and huge fan base, but that brings its own pressure, and they've been able to find a way of getting through that pressure. And obviously they spent a lot of money, they've added huge amounts of quality to their squad, but they still need to win the games. They drew 0-0 on Saturday away at Reading. Obviously they got a good victory at St Andrews on Tuesday night against Leyton Orient, but look, you know, they struggled to break down a Reading team who've been stripped of their assets in the last 18 months. So it shows you that this division has got that sort of result in it. And you know, to use a Mike Dodds phrase, respect the point that we had on Saturday and use it to keep building. But the thing that gives me really good hope for Wickham is the defensive record, because if you don't let goals in, you know, then you're going to get more points along the way. So, you know, Richard Kone came back off the bench against Wigan as well. He'll have another week of training in him and hopefully getting up to speed. And I'd love it if he got a couple of goals at least on Saturday, especially if Jay Stansfield is still not able to play because he went off with an injury the other week, because they're toe-to-toe. And that's a great little narrative in this sort of promotion hunt that all the clubs are on up there.
And also a great positive, the fact that the team have been able to maintain that top two position throughout the majority of the season, really.
Yeah, and look, you know, we can see that there's teams on the hunt as well, and Wrexham are keeping in touch, and we've got a huge game with them coming up in a few weeks. So look, you know, we're in the box seat. If we win every game between the end of the season, we'll go up. That's the simple way of looking at it. I think we all know that football doesn't work like that. And, you know, Wrexham aren't going to win all of their games between the end of the season. Neither will we, probably. Perhaps even Birmingham won't. And I really hope they don't, because that means if they can lose Saturday, that'll be a great start to that. But look, Wickham are in the box seat. They've got here for a reason. They deserve to be there. And now it's up to everyone involved to keep us in there and get us over the line.
I think many fans as well, well, at least one, will be keen to know whether you've made any progress in finding out when the business end of the season starts.
I haven't yet. My hunch is the final 10 games, which we're approaching quite rapidly. That seems to be quite a long running, because, you know, 10 games doesn't sound a lot, but it's still 30 points, which is a huge, huge amount of points. So I'm not sure. So my hunch was 10. I'd welcome any listeners' comments on this, as to when they feel the business end of the season starts. 5 seems a little short to me, but there we are. Maybe we split the difference, Colin, and go, you know, half time in the 8th game.
I think the run-in starts certainly the last sort of 6, isn't it, I think?
Yeah. Turning the corner, as they say, which, you know, it's very horse racing.
Yes. The final straight.
Yeah. So,
but you're confident the business end hasn't started yet?
I don't think so. I think, you know, there's still a little bit of sort of settling in after a busy window for a lot of teams in our division. So I think you need that sort of period, to use another cliche, a period of bedding in for those new players. And now that they've done that, then I think once they're fully happy and satisfied with that, then the business end can start.
No, absolutely. Along with spring, of course, that's coming too. There's been some horticultural references on the show before as well, but I'm not sure.
Spring can't come soon enough, Colin, if I'm being brutally honest with you. It's been a long winter.
No, absolutely.
On the gantry. It's been very cold.
Yeah, and many people have sympathy for you, I'm sure. I've bought you snacks as well to comfort you in these moments.
Yeah, I'm not fishing for sympathy, but it has been cold. But, you know, I wrap up warm, I'm used to it.
But you talk about the bedding in period for the players, but obviously for the head coach as well, and he's got the headache you often hear him talk about of keeping all the players happy.
He has, and you know, he's fronted up to that issue, you know, from day one, because obviously we all know the maths involved. There's more players than there are sort of positions in the squad for a match day, which means there'll be people disappointed. And I think Mike has addressed that perfectly from day one, that he doesn't want to be popular. You know, he wants players to understand the situation, but he doesn't want them to be happy about it. He wants them to go back out on the training ground and force him to rethink for the next game. because they've trained so well, or they've presented him with a difficult decision to make, and that's what you want. So I thought that was a perfect response. You know, I guess you don't want someone to come in and say, "Oh, why am I not playing this week?" And then they explain it why, and then they sort of roll off, and then it doesn't matter. You want them to be striving for it. You know, Jasper Pattinson spoke so well after Saturday as well, saying that, you know, there's more new faces around, there's real competition for places across all positions in the team, and everyone's busting your gut to be involved on a match day, and that's exactly what you want. And once you do get that starting berth, you've then got to perform to make sure that you get it for the next game. And look, if everyone's doing that in the squad, then we're in a really good place. And it seems that the atmosphere and the environment at the training ground, fostered by the coaching staff, is conducive to that. So exciting times.
And much to look forward to as well, with top team opposition as well in Birmingham, obviously, on Saturday, and Wrexham to come soon, as you touched on. But also the likes of Peterborough and Burton as well, who are down the other end.
Yeah, look, and Peterborough got a really good result at the weekend, which is really bad timing because we've got them soon. Burton Albion, who looked absolutely dead and buried at the start of the season, after, you know, kind of crazy summer transfer window where there was just so much change, and then a really awfully slow start. And then they've had to make changes, and Gary Bowyer has done an exceptional job. You know, maybe just took a long time for those players to settle because of the amount of change, and he's been able to marshal them quickly. But they've got decent results. That's going to be a really tough game. It was a really tough game at their place, a 3-2 win, you know, in the first half of the season. And as I've said, I think nearly every week on this show, Colin, there's no easy games in League One. And I think this next sort of 2 weeks will prove that.
And playing the league leaders on Saturday will be obviously a great test and a great thing for the fans to look forward to. And the fact that it's at lunchtime as well, but we'll give you the rest of your Saturday afternoon as well.
Yeah, it's not ideal, really, the 12:30. I can understand why it needs to be on TV, first v second in League One. I can understand that. It just does mean an early start for those heading up there. But Wickham have sold out their allocation, which I would imagine will be a sold-out stadium. Which will be a great spectacle for those watching along at home as well, or listening in. And I really, really hope Wickham can play, not with an abandon, but, you know, they can really attack Birmingham and make a real game of it, because I think that will be the way to find a way through. You know, we can be confident in our back line and defensive capabilities, which obviously isn't just the defenders, you defend as a team. But like I said earlier on, just 7 conceded in 12 competitive matches this calendar year is a pretty fearsome record defensively. So we can go into the game in confidence, knowing that we're tight, and go and try and make the difference in the final third and get a couple of goals. We talk about their fan base and the anticipation around the game. If Wickham were to go there and get in front early on, or maybe even get a 2-goal lead, that won't be something that Birmingham fans have been used to this season. They're certainly used to it in the Championship from their point of view. But, you know, if you can work the situation and get the home fans on their back, that would be wonderful.
Much to look forward to as we head towards the business end. Enjoy the game on Saturday.
I certainly will. Cheers, Colin.
Across High Wycombe and South Buckinghamshire, and on your smart speaker.
Play Wycombe Sound.
This is Wycombe Sound.
Still to come on this week's edition of the Wycombe Wanderer Show, we'll catch up with Liam from the Disabled Supporters Association. They've got an event on Tuesday at the Burton game. We'll be chatting about that as well. As mentioned, too, we'll continue our coverage with the Chair Girls and catch up with head coach Mike Dodds ahead of Saturday lunchtime's game against top of the table Birmingham City. But first, with big thanks to Wycombe Wanderers Ex-Players Association. It's been a pleasure to speak to someone who I'm sure you'll remember if you were watching Wickham in the late 70s and early 80s. A fantastic defender, a fantastic character, George Borg, who can give us his earliest memories of his time arriving at Lokes Park.
I think it started with Brian Lee. He recommended me to Mike Keane, and I was quite surprised because I was playing for Dulwich Hamlet at the time, and I didn't even know where Wickham was, believe it or not. And then I heard that the crowds were really good and the supporters were really brilliant. So it was a no-brainer for me. And as soon as I signed for him, it was just amazing from that day. It was, what can I say, it was just an honour to play for that football club.
And fantastic as well that you settled in so quickly.
Yeah, I did. the first person who was in the dressing room when I walked in was Howard Kennedy. And we had played against each other a couple of weeks before I joined Wickham. And the first word said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "I've actually signed for Wickham Wanderers." And we sat down, and it was like I'd known Howard all my life. He was just an amazing person. And from that day, I knew I made the right decision in signing for Wickham.
And did you have a plan, if you like, as to how you could contribute, especially being a fullback, and obviously you came across as such a hard-working player as well?
I knew, obviously, that Wickham were a really good footballing team. They lacked certain aggression parts within the game. And I think when I was speaking to Brian and Mike, they wanted to toughen it up a little bit. And obviously, I think I took over from a guy called Ray Eaton, who was coming to the end of his career at Wickham. So, you know, me stepping in and being a fiery little player was something that the club, I think, and the team needed at the time. So, you know, my main job really for Mike Keane was to just work hard and get stuck in a little bit. Because in them days, a lot of systems were 4-4-2. So he was always coming up against a good, tricky little winger. So me being the type of player I just made sure I dealt with him first. And then I could, you know, start putting my attacking parts of my game into place, which I did. And I think it was quite effective for a left-back to score. I think I scored 14 goals one season, albeit 10 were penalties, but still, they all count.
No, absolutely. And so pleasing that the fans' reaction as well, in what can loosely be termed as research for our chat, I came across an online article, and it was asking, you know, different fans to comment on, you know, who, what kind of players or what made them first fall in love with Wickham Wanderers, and a fan said that it was yourself and Terry Glynn.
Yeah, I think it might have been Terry Glynn's dad that actually said that. No, they were just amazing. I throughout my career, and I've had a really lucky and good, successful career, you know, every team talk and every session that I did and every team that we played against, you know, somehow Wickham Wanderers Football Club and my teammates at the time were always in my team talks. And until this day, whenever I talk about the clubs that I played for and the teams that I managed, you know, Wickham Wanderers is just in a different league, because the supporters made that club, you know, regardless of whether we was playing badly or not, you know, they still got behind us and stuck with us. And I think that was a little bit, it was great for me, because obviously they knew that I would always give 100%. And I took that into becoming a manager and a coach and so on. But to actually have great contact with supporters and actually go in a bar, which was new for me, and to sit and talk about football with guys that have supported the club for so many years, and sit and listen to what they had to say about the club and why they supported it and how long they've supported Wickham Wanderers was amazing. And the stories that they told me, my heart just melt, because they were always true, fantastic supporters. Until this day, they still are.
And fantastic as well that I think they really admired your kind of work ethic, and obviously you were quite a, I guess, combative, you know, style of player, but that's kind of part of the charm, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I had lots of banter with them, to be honest with you. I used to I think I was probably one of the first that made the t-shirts up underneath me main shirt. You know, I'd lift it up and go, "You're simply the best," and things like that, if we'd won and if I'd scored, meaning that the supporters were simply the best. And whenever I came running out onto the pitch, there was a few of them that used to shout, "Who's a pretty boy then?" And I used to say, "Oh, I am," you know, and it just grew from there. And you know, obviously, a little bit of lack of discipline along the line whilst I was at the club. But, you know, in all, it was just the best experience, I could say, till this day, that I had in my career to play for Wickham.
Fantastic for you to have that kind of character, I think, and but also, you know, the success that you had at the club, especially, you know, winning the Isthmian League at the time as well.
Yeah, it was brilliant, and also the team that we had some great characters, and obviously, unfortunately, two or three have passed away now, but you know, we had such great team spirit, and a lot of managers build a team on ability, but it's more than that. You know, I've always said, you know, we're all different components, and to get a Rolls Royce, you have to have all those components that are pretty good, and then put them together, but then have, you know, their characters and their personalities, and it's not just that, you know, being a good footballer, and we had that in bundles, you know, Howard Kennedy, Bob Dowell, Gary Lester, you know, Terry Glynn, and Kenny Wilson, all those players. You know, you can just rattle them off because they were such good players, and we had a really good team spirit, and I think that's why we were successful, and you know, we did really well in the cup competitions, and obviously winning the league was the icing on the cake.
And what was Mike like to play under?
Mike, I loved him to bits, to be honest with you. He was just a lovely man. I think he needed to be a little bit harder with me, which he did a couple of times. I think he put me on the transfer list once. And, you know, I thought, well, hang on a minute, I better knuckle down. But I couldn't change the way I was. I mean, back in those days, I look at myself a little bit and cringe. But I was a young man. I was a kid. I wanted to impress. I wanted to be the best. And, you know, and all my character and all my bad behaviours came out, especially for 90 minutes. But, you know, it was, I think Mike had it a little bit tough with me at times, but he was a great man to play for, regardless of the differences that we had. You know, he would always come in and always take the positives out of the game. And, you know, I'd sit there a bit confused because, you know, if we'd been beaten, I'd think, well, hang on a minute, we've lost. What positives are in that? But I did learn quite a bit from Mike, and like I say, and Brian Lee was always never far away and always there to sort of like give you a little bit of guidance. He certainly gave me a bit of guidance, but yeah, I enjoyed playing for Mike, I must say.
Did it feel like a really special time to be at the club?
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, I used to go there and I used to be there. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff and I'd be there for 10:30. And I'd sit and talk to, I think I've got his name right, Jock. He used to be the kit man. He was a lovely old guy. And I used to sit and listen to his stories and help him hang the kit up and, you know, and things like that. I just absolutely idolised the place. Logs Park was so special, you know. It had so much history, especially with, you know, the lads that played against Middlesbrough and Paul Birdseye, obviously, was a part of that team. And Paul was a great lad, too. He, you know, it just seemed from being a Londoner to go to Wickham and have so many nice people around you, because you don't really get that in London. And I was just amazed. I couldn't wait to jump on the train and get up there. And like I say, when Terry Glynn signed as well, it was ideal because we didn't live far from each other, so we kept each other company, and obviously we played in the same team, so it was just you could not write the script. It was just amazing 3 years that I had at the club.
And are there any other particular games or occasions that really stand out for you?
Yeah, I think the semi-final of the FA Trophy against Altrincham, I mean, we did ever so well getting to the semi, and then we drew in Manchester 1-1. I think they scored in the last minute, actually. And then the replay, it was just a complete mess. You know, I got suspended for the second game, or I was suspended for the second game. I think Anton Vickers didn't decide whether he was going to go to his brother's wedding or not. And then obviously Gary Lester got injured. So, you know, we was a little bit down with the best players not playing in the second leg. And it was a packed house. And I was just looking around thinking, oh, this is my stage and I'm not playing. And we ended up losing 3-0, and it was a really bitter pill to swallow. But, you know, we again, the crowd got behind us and clapped us off the pitch, not knowing, I don't think, what was going on until a few weeks later behind the scenes. But, yeah, and then we have all the highs because everybody wanted to beat us. And I think, you know, John Steele at the time, I knew John Steele, who was manager of Leytonstone, and Terry Urlock, who was a good pal of mine at West Ham. And we played against them, and they were top of the league, and I think we were second. And we managed to beat them 2-1 at home. And I think I've done a lap of honour on my own, and I think it was only 15 games into the season. So, yeah, those games, and I've kept every write-up in the Bucks Free Press. And I think Michael Knox, I think, was the reporter. And he, you know, he was one of the fairest reporters I've really been involved with. And I've kept every article, and I've still got them till this day.
That's fantastic and really great, obviously, that you were able to go on and play for other clubs and obviously against Wickham as well, as both a player and also a manager and indeed a player manager.
Yeah, I did. And funny enough, my first manager's job at Barking, I was 27, I think, 26, 27, and we're going away to Wickham. And I'd never really told anyone this story, but not the true story. We had our kit at Barking, but it wasn't very nice. So knowing the people at Wickham, and I said, look, our kit, I said, someone's left it in their car and they've not turned up. And you can look through the, if there's any photos, we wore Wickham's away kit. And it was the yellow shirts, I'll never forget it, blue shorts and yellow socks. And I had an old Wickham shirt, which I put underneath, which was blue. And I was player manager for Barking, and we'd gone to Wickham, and it's brilliant. The reception was great, and Wickham beat us 2-0. But I remember when the final whistle went, I took the yellow shirt off and just showed the blue shirt, meaning that even though we've lost 2-0, I'm still a Wickham player. And that was a great, a brilliant experience for me, because when I went into the bar, you know, to see everybody on their feet clapping and, you know, just brought tears to my eyes. It was amazing.
It's brilliant that football's given you, you know, those experiences and the relationships that you've had with teammates as well.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the hardest thing was, unfortunately, we had a reunion. I think it was about 6 or 7 months before Howard Kennedy passed away. And, you know, there was 8 or 9 of us there. And the memories just come flooding back. And, you know, and then you look at the new stadium, Adams Park, and you think, wow, what a beautiful stadium. And, you know, but you could never compare it to Oaks Park because of the history. But, yeah, it was amazing just going back and seeing how we've progressed and how far Wickham had gone. And how nice Gareth Ainsworth was as well, and introduced himself to us. Not that we didn't know him, obviously. But he came in and he knew us and he shook our hands, and I thought, wow, the hospitality and the welcome has never changed in my eyes. And like I say, every week throughout the years, I always look at how Wickham Wanderers have done.
And do you feel a real sense of pride that you've kind of played a part in kind of getting the club to where it is today?
Absolutely. I'd you know, no one can take... You know, they can take about away the bookings and the sending offs and everything else that goes involved with football. But at the end of the day, I was a part of a very special club, very special. And you know, 30 years being involved, 35 years being involved of management, coaching, playing. There's no club that can get near it because of the way that it is and obviously the way that the people are.
Well, it's been a real pleasure to catch up with you and share your memories. And I know that many ex-players that we've spoken to on the show, and also fans as well, you know, you brought a lot of pleasure and joy to them as well.
Thank you so much. That's really kind of you to say that. And I just want to wish everybody at the club, and fingers crossed that we get promoted this year. That would be the icing on the cake for me.
Well, it's been brilliant to speak to you. Thank you so much, Steve, for your time.
You are so welcome, Colin. You take care.
Great chatting to you. George Borg, of course, defender, legendary defender. I don't think it's wrong to call him that. Big thanks to JDT and all at Wickham Wanderers Ex-Players Association for the opportunity to get George on as well. I'm very pleased to say we can speak to Liam O'Rourke, who is from the Disabled Supporters Association. Thank you so much, Lee, for joining us.
No problem at all. No problem.
Great to have you on. We should speak to you as well, obviously, in your guise as a fan. What are your thoughts on recent performances, I guess, especially since the previous manager's departure?
Yeah, well, we're still unbeaten under Mike, so, you know, it's not all doom and gloom when a manager leaves. Yeah, they've not been too bad. It's just really strange to be at a Wickham game with no Blooms and no Gaz.
No, absolutely. It really feels like the end of an era. But I guess great credit to especially the senior players, but the whole team for kind of really maintaining the level and not dropping out of the top two.
100%. I think there was possibly a few of us that may have predicted a little bit of a drop off, but no, we're still there and still hanging on. So yeah, you know, we'll see what happens.
And some exciting fixtures to come as well with Wrexham not too far away and a trip to the league leaders, of course, on Saturday.
Yes, yeah, definitely the. The Birmingham fans think they're in for a bit of an easy ride, but you know, that's not the Wickham way, is it?
No, absolutely. Tell us a bit about the Disabled Supporters Association. A bit of a potted history, I guess. First,
yeah. So we were formed just after COVID, so around sort of 2021, 2022, that sort of time, to try and sort of get a voice, I guess, for disabled supporters at Wickham and. To help them sort of improve their experiences, I guess, at the stadium and with the club and, you know, like purchasing tickets, that sort of thing. And it's just grown from there, really.
And of course, there are so many different types of disability, and great that the club can be so inclusive.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I can't fault the club for their sort of their input, really. And, you know, they've always been sort of a stone's throw away from us if ever we have any problems or any queries, and vice versa. You know, we're always on hand if they have any questions about any sort of initiatives or anything that they want to put in place. And we can help them and advise them as best we can, and they do the same with us.
So give us some examples of how the Disabled Supporters Association is able to help, whether it's to do with accessibility or indeed visual impairment.
Yeah, so in terms of that, so accessibility is obviously probably the more visible one for sort of supporters coming into the stadium and things, you know, things like accessible toilets, making sure that any curbs are painted in a visible colour for anybody with a visual impairment, you know, handrails and things where it's needed. Accessible seating as well is a big one, you know, making sure that view isn't obscured by advertising boards and what have you. So yeah, and obviously the stewards and stuff, they're well trained in all that kind of thing, and they can help and support where needed.
And the club's really well geared up for those who with neurodiverse issues as well.
Yes, yeah, exactly. You know, we've made quite great strides in that sort of area. You know, things like the headsets of headphones for people that have sort of any sensory issues and anything like that, they can always get a sensory pack for them to use the headphones or anything that's included in that. And we've also got a quiet room that supporters can use as well if they need to. You know, it doesn't have to be for the whole game. It can be for a part of the game, and then when they're ready to sort of continue watching the game, they can quite freely go back to their seat and continue watching the football.
And obviously a big fan myself of the service for those who are visually impaired, owing to the fact that you've got receivers that can tune into a certain radio station and get the commentary.
Yes, unbelievable. You know, I think we actually got the idea, as in football itself, got the idea from cricket, because they do it quite a lot. And, you know, somebody thought that it would be a good idea. And, you know, we've, as a sport, you know, we've jumped on it, and at Wickham we're using it as well.
So what sort of feedback have you had from supporters who've benefited from what you've been able to do for them?
So there's been a lot of really, really good feedback, you know, positive and also constructive as well, which is always great to hear. You know, you get all sort of positive feedback through via email. They say, people say to us, oh, you know, thank you for for helping us with tickets, etc. You know, whether their family member or whatever is newly disabled or has been disabled since birth, you know, young child, etc. They want sort of guidance on where to sit, where is good for, where are the toilets, etc. You know, how's the parking, things like that. So we've always been on hand to be able to provide that information. And there's always going to be constructive feedback as well. You know, there might be some things that we hadn't considered that potentially we can approach the club with. And we never say no to an idea. It's just about sort of making sure that we can do it if it's viable for the football club.
So what advice would you have for anyone who perhaps has a disability or knows someone who has it and perhaps hasn't been to the ground before?
So the biggest thing I would say is come and try it. You know, you can only try it once, and, you know, if you do enjoy it, then amazing, you can, you know, you can carry on. But if you don't, then that's fine, it's up to you. If you contact me on dsa@wwfc.com, I can help and support you as best as I can. And yeah, you know, with me having a disability myself, you know, I know quite a bit about some disabilities, not all of them, but I can give guidance where needed.
And Tuesday night's game against Burton could be a good opportunity for this.
Yes, definitely. You know, it's going to be part of the Unite for Access week for level playing field. So that starts on the 1st and finishes on the 16th of March. And the Burton game is our turn to showcase the good work that the club and the DSO are doing.
And you've got an event with the Reading game as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so Reading is funny enough, it always seems to be around the same time of year, doesn't it, recently. We're going on our accessible bus that we are supported with by Mott's Travel. And yeah, we're all going down to Reading or across to Reading to watch the boys in action. And, you know, it'd be great if some more supporters can come and join us. We've got a few spaces left. So again, contact me via email and we'll be able to help you out.
And what do you hope that anyone comes along on Tuesday night, especially, gets from the experience?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be obviously with it being a Tuesday night game, it you know, it's predictably going to be a little bit quieter in the sort of seating areas and things, you know, moving around the stadium and things. So it would be an ideal opportunity for you to come down and try it out for the first time. And then obviously, you know, if you get the bug, then feel free to come and join us at Reading and any other trips that we do in the future.
And how would you like to see the association grow going forward?
I guess it's the partnership with the club and all the different supporter groups that are sort of associated with the club. You know, the foundation does amazing work, you know, going to do outreach and things like that with all sorts of children and communities in the area. And, you know, we've recently been starting to do some things with them. And yeah, I guess just keep the communication lines open and hopefully we can support new supporters coming into the stadium for a while longer.
I was going to say, it'd be fantastic to attract more fans who perhaps haven't been before and can really, you know, continue coming along.
Exactly. You know, that's what it's all about. You know, I sit on the opposite side of the disabled seats, and I think, you know, what more can we do to sort of bring more disabled supporters in, more supporters in general as well, to the football club. And I'm always open to suggestions.
Because I guess it's sort of understanding the challenges they face, whether it's, you know, as you say, accessing the toilets or the club shop or, you know, just getting to a seat and getting a good view.
Yeah, exactly. You know, even things like going to the bar before the game and getting a drink. You know, the staff in the bar area are fantastic, and people on the kiosk, etc., stewards. You know, they're all really good, and it's part of the process of working for the football club is being able to sort of help any type of supporter that may need it. And you know, let's ride this crest of a wave while we're still on it, and get some more supporters in the stadium.
And really brilliant to highlight what you do as well, so other fans can perhaps understand, you know, and sympathise with issues that these supporters face too.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm part of a monthly meeting with other disabled sports associations up and down the country, not just the EFL but the Premier League as well. And hearing the work that they do as well, it's good to swap ideas and, you know, try and bring that to Wickham. And obviously, there's going to be some things that we can't do that other clubs can. But, you know, it's it's always great to swap ideas and try and see whether we can do that at Wickham.
And just remind us how we can get in touch with you if we have any questions or want to find out more.
Yeah, so it's dsa@wwfc.com. That's the email address. Or if you want to go onto the website, you'll be able to find the Disabled Supporters Association page on there that will have any relevant information that you need.
Real pleasure to chat to you on the show. Thank you so much indeed for your time, and we'll definitely be speaking to you again soon.
No problem. Thank you, Colin.
Liam O'Rourke, who's from the Disabled Supporters Association, speaking to us here at Wickham Sound.
Across High Wickham and South Buckinghamshire, and on your smart speaker.
Play Wickham Sound.
This is Wickham Sound. The Wickham Wanderers Show. Thursdays from 7. 106.6 FM.
Wickham Sound. Final part of this week's Wickham Wanderers Show. It's gone so well, hasn't it? No, it has. Still to come, we'll hear from our head coach, Mike Dodds. You see, I've stopped calling him a new head coach now. I think he can't we? Is it 5 games he's been in charge? No, that's heading towards the business end. As we prepare for Saturday's League One clash at Leaders Birmingham City. But first, let's turn our attention to the Chair Girls once again, who you might have heard us chat to Captain Bobby Lynch last week, and they've got a game on the 18th of March, same as the Rotherham game. Away, but Wickham Wanderers women will be at home to Reading at Adams Park on that night, so get yourself along to that if you can. Please catch up once again on the show with Milana Cador, who's a defender and not only played in the first team against Porchester last week, but also plays for the development team as well.
I would like to say that my hard work and effort is showing, and I feel appreciated by my teammates, and I think that my continuing development and focus is showing, and I'm proud of my achievements, I guess. Yeah, thank you.
And do you notice your own development as well in terms of your game and what you can contribute to the team?
Yes, I've noticed my adapting to my teammates, because of course we have more new players this season. So I'm adapting and learning from my teammates, being able to apply that to my own game to make myself more versatile as a teammate.
And what's that like, having, you know, so many new players in, but, you know, improving in terms of quality and creativity and goals as well?
It's a really interesting environment. It just creates loads of options for development, which allows myself to just grow as a player and as a person. And I feel like having such amazing teammates is really beneficial.
And do you really enjoy playing with players who've played at a higher level as well and can learn so much from?
Yes, it's an amazing opportunity to be able to learn from high-level players. And it greatly aids my development.
I remember when we spoke to you before, your preferred position was sort of centre-back, but you quite like getting forward as well, and have been used in the midfield sometimes too. And that's really nice, I guess, to really demonstrate your flexibility.
Oh, yes. It's very interesting learning to play different positions and then be able to appreciate the players that play in said positions.
And great for you as well to be part of a team that's winning so often and scoring so many goals and keeping so many goals out as well.
Oh, yes. It's a very motivating thing to come into a game each week being like, we're on our streak, let's keep this up. And it's just a good motivator, I guess. Thank you.
And obviously disappointing to be going out the League Cup at the weekend against Porchester, who, you know, strong team who you'll be facing shortly in the league as well. What was that game like for you?
It was an interesting game. Despite the rain, decided to come halfway through, batter it down. but I feel like we rose to the challenge, came back in the second half. And then after that, it was 2 mistakes that took it away from us, but we're coming back stronger. I'm going back this weekend, so looking to bring the revenge, I guess.
No, absolutely. I guess there are so many learnings you can take from games, you know, whether you win or it's a defeat or even a draw.
Yes, always. There's always a learning opportunity. Always learn to come back stronger, come back better. Even if you win, there's always ways you can improve.
So what would you say are the main strengths of the side this season?
Our attacking threat has improved quite a lot, and I'd say that we've become really strong at bringing up our goal totals, as you've mentioned. Additionally, I feel like the team unit, the way that we work together as a team, has improved, like our build-up play and our patterns. Like, I feel like those reflect on the match day, and I feel like those are two of the main strengths of the team presently.
And I remember when we last spoke to you as well, you said you did set yourself a list of personal goals for the season, and, you know, I don't necessarily want you to reveal them, but how are you getting on with your list?
I feel like I'm getting on with my list accordingly. Just got a few more final touches to add, but I feel like at the end of the season I could have achieved it. So, yeah.
Fantastic, and great for you as well to kind of have a foot in each camp, if you like, with the first team and the development team as well. It must be great advert for other players as well who are looking to progress.
Oh yes, it's a brilliant opportunity, and get to play with so many players and such a wide range of skills. It's always a great learning opportunity, and provides myself with many opportunities to develop and grow as a player. So greatly appreciative. And it's also the experiencing with new people and the team environment, being able to adapt and become more versatile as a person. So I feel like it has holistic development as well as a development in football. So very appreciative.
And is it quite nice in a way to be playing Portchester so quickly after playing them as well? Because that's quite nice, I guess, as you say, to kind of get revenge.
Yes, very much. The drive and the journey down there, not particular, but besides that, yes, very much.
Because that's quite nice as well, I guess, for the team to kind of experience all that thing together and really kind of go through that, and it must really help with the bonding as well.
Very much. True, to the point where we're all trying to figure out how to work the parking meters in the changing room, because they were all broken. No one knew how to use them.
So this is about behind-the-scenes glamour that fans don't get to know about normally.
Yes, always.
So what are your own kind of hopes and aspirations for the remainder of the season? Because obviously Ascot are quite a way ahead, and I guess you're looking for them to drop points in order to get promotion. But you must be so pleased with the way the team is going.
Yes, always. But like we believe at Wickham, you can't focus on another team's success or prey on their downfall. You have to be the best you can, and not hope that's enough, but you have to know that's enough, and that's the best you can do, and that's the most you've given and can give. So we're just looking to finish the season strong, to put our all into everything. It doesn't matter how Ascot do, as long as we play our best, we know that at the end of the season it will reflect our efforts, and then we can be proud of that. And then should more doors will open up our way, but we just have to make sure we focus on bringing our all for the rest of the season, and that's the goal.
It's great that all the players are so kind of focused in that way, and driven as well, and want to do so well for the team, and it's a great advert for how far the club has come as well, especially since last season.
Yes, of course. I feel like the mentality the players brought in, players have brought up, it's really allowed us to all grow together individually, and then after our own personal development, come together and become a more powerful team and squad.
And we should ask as well how your studies are going. So when we spoke to you last time, you were doing your A levels, and you said it wasn't too stressful. Is that still the case?
I might have to take back a few of my words, but I'm predominantly on top of my studies, maintaining. So we're doing okay.
Fantastic. We wish you all the best for the remainder of the season, and thank you so much for your time.
Of course. Thank you very much for having me.
Brilliant chatting to Milana Cador. And if we've learned nothing else, November A levels not stressful. February, perhaps a little more so. Let's bring you the latest from head coach Mike Dodds. He's been chatting to Phil.
Mike, these are the weekends we all live for. Top of the table clash, Wickham heading to Birmingham. How are you feeling?
Excited. Group are excited. We had a really good week together. So I think we had a positive-ish week previously last week. Obviously, we wanted to pick up more points, but we had three really different games. And I think what I seen from the group was three different sides of them, which I think are huge, huge positives. So we'll be going to Birmingham full of confidence. We've had a really, really good week on the grass. And really, from our perspective, we've got nothing to lose.
And the defensive record of Wickham Wanderers coming into this has been excellent in recent times too. That must give you confidence going to a place like Birmingham.
Yeah, look, we have to defend properly because they've got, at this level, they've got some unbelievable players at this level. Their squad is, a lot of their players could probably get in championship teams, let alone League One teams. So, look, we're gonna have to do all the things we've done really well out of possession for the last kind of three or four games, and we're going to have to do them and make sure we concentrate. If we do that, we give ourselves a foundation in the game, and then from there, it's about us imposing ourselves on Birmingham.
It's going to be sold out. They're unbeaten at home, so it's quite an occasion.
Yeah, but like you said, these are the occasions we want to be a part of as a coach and as staff and as players. These are the types of games that everyone wants to be a part of. I said to the group, the pressure's a privilege, because if we were mid-table and didn't have anything really to kind of fight or hang on for, these games don't become as as meaningful and as kind of more kind of hyped up. So the group have worked their way into this position where it becomes a thing. But what we've got to do, we've got to concentrate on ourselves. I said that from the moment that I came into the football club, that I don't care what's going on above us. I don't care what's going on below us. You know, we've just got to take each game as it comes. We've got to go onto the training pitch every day, look to improve. And if we do that and just focus on us, we'll be fine.
We've had a few teams come to Adams Park in the last two, three months. We've set up the low block because of Wickham's position in the table. I'm presuming with Birmingham being at home, they won't be doing that. Would that give you another challenge going into this game?
Yeah, it'd be another type of challenge. I've had four, this will be my fifth game in terms of different types of games. And I know previously when I spoke to the staff, they felt as the season has evolved, a lot more teams are giving us compliments in terms of the way they set up, and that's probably the first time that I experienced that on Saturday in terms of Wigan, who I thought defended really well. You've got to give them credit sometimes as well, but they obviously, you know, I said to the players, look at the way they celebrated at the end of the game. I think it should be a huge compliment to us that they're celebrating a draw and we're disappointed with a draw, and it just shows how far the club's come, and it shows the evolution of the group that, you know, we're really disappointed with not picking up 3 points, and the opposition are obviously really happy with taking a point. So, you know, we should take that as a huge compliment. The game on Saturday is not going to look anything like last Saturday, we know that. But then Tuesday will not look like anything like Saturday. But that's something that us as staff and the players, we've got to train those scenarios. We've got to make sure that we help the players, and the players have got to do their bit on the pitch.
And the TV camera's there too. So quite a spectacle in League One, top versus second. So it should be a blockbuster.
I hope so. And I hope it's going to be a really good advertisement for the EFL. I hope it's going to be a good advertisement for both sets of players, for both sets of a really positive spectacle for everyone. That being said, we take 3 points, we'll be happy. If we don't, you know, we won't be very happy.
Well, the away end will be packed as well, making their noise, making themselves heard, and get behind the boys. We'll need them, won't we?
We definitely need them. And listen, in all the games I've been involved in for the last four games, I think the fans have been incredible. They've actually, if I'm being brutally honest, surprised me a little bit, I'll be honest with you, because you look at the attendances and you think, you know, my previous club, it was in the 40,000s, and obviously it's significantly less, but the noise they create has really taken me back. So yeah, look, they're going to be hugely important, not just for Saturday, but for the remaining, 13 games after that, I think it is. So they're going to be massively important for us. And like I keep saying to everyone, there's going to be loads of bumps in the road, but they're just speed bumps. They're not roadblocks. We'll be completely fine. There's going to be loads of ups and downs over this period. I'm fully confident we're going to be completely fine for the remaining games of the season.
Don't forget, you can hear that interview in full on Wanderers TV. Join us next week here on Wickham Sound.